You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. A book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you, and thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. And America, men, women, boys, and girls, please get your King James Bible and open them to Psalm 94, verse 1, where we left off last time. Psalm 94, verse 1. As I have told you, we are in what is called the Numbers Book of Psalms. Numbers is divided up into five books called the Pentateuch from the Torah, the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We've completed the first three, and when we got to Psalm 90, we began the book of Numbers in Psalms, and that would be Psalm 90 through 106. So Psalm 94 tonight is in the book of Numbers. Numbers in the Hebrew means wilderness. And so see, and it's God addressing the earth. It's like we're in a wilderness trying to make our way through the thick foliage of this sin-sick world, right? Now, the title of this Psalm 94 will bless you. It's very, very current. It is a prayer for rest for the earth. Now, have you ever known a time when the earth needed rest? By the way, if you don't believe God's word, I am always, wherever I'm teaching, in exactly the right place with what's going on the earth. There is nothing but chaos on the earth. God said to Jeremiah in chapter 4, I shook this earth once, that was in the first earth age when Satan rebelled at the catabole, and it said, I'm going to shake it again. And Hebrews 12 said, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. He is shaking it now. The earth is tottering. It is absolutely having a seizure. It's in a convulsion. While our brother Judah and the land of Israel and Benjamin are being annihilated, at least that's their purpose, by the terrorists. And look over there in Iran. I mean, our biggest enemy, that's Persia. In Daniel, he's getting nuclear weapons ready to blow the United States of America off the face of the earth. And look at Esau, who is Edom, who is Russia. Putin there is just taking over the territory. And don't forget the Battle of Hamangog. We bought Alaska, America did, from Russia. He's going to come and get that. The Bible says so. And then, of course, look at the terrorist ISIS crucifying Christians. Yes, crucifying them on crosses and cutting their heads off. Now, if we ever we needed a prayer for rest for the earth, we need it now. And guess what? We've got it. It is this psalm. Now, I want you to know that in Leviticus 25, God commanded the children of Israel to have a sabbatical, a rest for the land every 7 years. And he said the land needs to rest. God made the earth, so he knows what's good for it. God is so good, he said, I'll give you a bumper crop on the sixth year. I'll give you enough to last through the seventh year, and it'll even take you into the eighth year when you sow new seed. So see, God is so very good. Now, let me ask you something. You are a spirit, and you're connected to a soul. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. The soul is you, your will, your emotion, that real you. Before you came through your mother's womb, you had a spiritual body in the world that then was. We were with God. When we die, we return to God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. But right now, you, the real you, you're residing in a piece of earth, a clay pot. If the land earth needs a rest, do you need a rest? Okay. Now, see, Christians, you misunderstand. You think that means that you pack your bags and go hauling off on airplanes and all that tension. Your rest should be in the Lord. Get in your secret place and open that Bible. Pray and fast the whole day. You'll be a new creature. Try it once a week. Try it. The secret place of the Most High. Get the food away. Get the Bible out. Only focus on Jesus and the Bible. Drink water if you must. Try it. That's a rest. And so we begin the prayer for the rest of the earth.
Psalm 94, verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth.
Now you notice the psalmist said it twice because Jesus said in the mouth of two or three witnesses a matter is established. Now when we were in the great little book of minor prophets, Nahum, chapter 1, verse 2, he said the same thing, vengeance is mine. And those of you who overcome the Antichrist deception, he's coming soon. He's the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's coming before the real Jesus. If you overcome that deception, you're going to sing the song of Moses, which is found in Deuteronomy 32. And it says there that vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
Show thyself.
Show thyself, Lord. The world is convulsing, is having a seizure. Everywhere evil is taking over. Lord, manifest yourself. We might say, Lord, come. Now, you remember what Jesus said about vengeance. He said, I will avenge mine elect, though I bear long with them. It's a long time since you prayed. It's a long time you've been suffering for righteousness' sake. I mean, for righteousness' sake, not for somebody else's sake or sin's sake. Long time will avenge. Set time will come.
To lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth.
Lord, show yourself and come back and bring justice, God's justice to the earth. There is no justice. I mean, even the evil get away with anything. If you've got enough money, you can buy yourself out of any kind of crime. God, come back and be the judge. Revelation 20 talks about the white throne judgment. And everybody is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged for the works we have done and the lives we have lived and what we have done or not done with Jesus. How you doing?
Render a reward to the proud.
Okay, let's have a reward for the proud. Okay, in other words, we reap what we sow, right? So if you sow evil, you get evil. The proud there is ultimately Satan, who was called Lucifer in the first earth age in Isaiah chapter 14. He said, I'm so anointed. I'm so beautiful. I'm so wise. I'm a great musician. He played the tambourine. Whew, that's nothing to compare to a piano, but anyway. And he thought he was so great and he was so proud. He said, I will be God. So we're saying, Lord, we know the devil, the prince of the air, is doing this on planet earth and his children are tearing up things. Give them their due just deserts, Lord. Now, everybody reaps what they sow. And there's a set time. And we know that the devil is going to walk into the lake of fire, which will come into existence at the end of the millennium, that 1,000 years reign of Jesus with his adopt teaching. Then it will come into existence. They will walk into God, the consuming fire, the lake of fire. Into the smoke they shall go. They shall consume away the devil, his fallen angels, and all who follow him.
3. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph?
He said it twice. If you ever said, Mama, I cut my hand. Mama, I cut my hand. So we said, Father, how long, my Lord, this goes on? Look, it's this year, it's this year, it's this year. We're praying. How long more? Now listen to this. May this encourage you. Don't you dare get discouraged. If you fall off, you're going to go down. You need to stay glued and stay in your place now. And I know that the devil is tempting some of you to give up and take a break. You take a break, you're going to fall into the pit right there. Absolutely. So let me tell you this. God has a day planner. I have a day planner. I put all my things in there. It's got something every 15 minutes. And I can see a day at a time and a page a week at a time. And God has a day planner. And he's got a day in there. And a day with the Lord is of 1,000 years, 2 Peter 3, round about verse 10 says. And Jesus is coming on the day of the Lord, the seventh trump. And that 1,000 years day will absolutely be the day of the Lord. And at that time, Jesus is going to pour out a cup of wrath. He's got a set time for everything. And when it comes up on his calendar, it's going to happen right then. So let's not be impatient. Let us run the race. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. I have learned that I am grateful for the delay, because almost every day God gives me the privilege of reaching one more soul for Jesus. What if he had stopped all of this yesterday? You see what I'm saying? So love people enough to be patient enough to love them enough. And God was patient with you. He calls somebody to be patient with you to bring you in.
For how long shall they utter and speak hard things?
The hard means arrogant. One thing you can tell about the devil, pride was his fall. Pride goes before a fall. All of his children are extremely proud. You know, he beguiled Eve there in the garden that Paul mentions. The Greek word is exopatio, wholly seduced. And that was Cain. And all of Cain's descendants are called the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. One of their characteristics is they are very proud. They strut on the television. They hold their head up like, you people are so sottish, so stupid. I'm having to put up with you. I'd really rather be the king of the world than be doing this job. Watch it. Pride goes before a fall. That is the mark of Satan and his children. You know, those of us who are God's children, we fall on our faces knowing that he died for us. The only thing I'm proud of is my God, who did all that for me, my Lord.
And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves.
Oh, they boast themselves and say, hey, look, we're doing a great job, and they're killing us.
5, they break in pieces thy people, O Lord.
They who? They, the Kenites, the devil's children, Cain's descendants. How do they do that? The Bible uses symbology, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It talks about this in Zechariah and Revelation. They are the four hidden dynasties that have destroyed America. They are political. Lord have mercy. We got the Kenites right up there. They are the educational. They are not teaching our children even the true history of America, and they are brainwashing them to tolerate sin. The other is the economy. What can I say? Have you ever seen such a mess? But the worst one of the four hidden dynasties is religion, and that is where ISIS is taking over and causing people either to die or to give up their faith in Jesus Christ. So see, all of this has already happened. That has already happened. We're getting closer and closer and closer. But come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Afflict thine heritage.
Afflict thine heritage. You are the heritage. Those poor Christians being killed and crucified on crosses by the thousands in Iraq, and the news barely reports it there, by the ISIS. That is an affliction. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul. He's one of my heroes. You know what he said? He said, these slight afflictions, none of these things move me. And I really try my best to do the same thing. These afflictions, oh, what is that? I'm just going to keep on loving the Lord. You know what they did to him? They would hang him up, and so he would be, I don't mean hang him to die, but just suspend him, and take rods and beat the calves of his legs and his ankles and his feet and break the bones. And then when they dropped him down, the bones were broken, the pain, he could not walk. Or one time a viper jumped out of a fire to bite him, and if that viper bit anybody, they died instantly. He just shook it off. I have power of all the power of the enemy. And he was shipwrecked, and everybody in the church deserted him. The church, the mainstream church, would not even acknowledge. Peter finally did. But most of the big-time church in Jerusalem, they would not even acknowledge him. This man God used to write half of the New Testament. And finally, he was beheaded for Jesus' sake. These slight afflictions, none of these things move me. I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget the afflictions. When you grumble, you crumble.
Six, they slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless.
Now, it's not talking about murdering and slaying the widow and orphan in the natural. We do know that the Bible tells us true religion and undefiled is to take care of the widows and the orphans. Now, level number one in Bible times, they had no way to make a living, a widow, if her husband died. That's not so today, but we still love widows and orphans. I'm the first one in when someone loses their mate, and we take care of, I've just absolutely talked for free millions of orphans, but that isn't the spiritual meaning. Here's what it means. In the Bible, a widow means divorced. It means divorced from Jesus. And an orphan in the Bible means someone who's not saved, so God is not their father. You know what I mean, not saved through Jesus Christ. So they who? They who break up the land and break it in pieces. These four hidden dynasties have broken our country in pieces. But also from the pulpit, the Kenites are in there, and by doing things like lie proverbs, they break in pieces, and they will keep a person from getting saved, so they won't be able to marry Jesus. They will stay a widow, stay divorced from Jesus if they marry the Antichrist. They will remain an orphan if they do not accept Jesus. Do you understand? So therefore, the ministry of the widow and the orphan, level one, of course, we help them. But that's not talking about, it's talking about winning souls to Jesus so they can marry Jesus and God will be their father. But if the lies have been taught, then they don't marry Jesus. They don't get saved, and that's murder, because the devil's name is death.
Seven, yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it.
They'll say, God can't even see it. You see, they're fools, because God said the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. So they said, God, there's no God. He doesn't even see us. We can get away with all of this. Nobody's going to stop us. Who's going to stand up? Who's going to stop the mad dog? Who's going to stop the fox in the hen house? I'd like to see somebody with some backbone and spine. And they say, nobody's going to do it. Well, I tell you, the Bible says God got x-ray eyes. It says his eyes go to and fro over the face of the earth. He's looking for someone in whom he can be strong. I've had him jump into me and take over. Did you know that the elect do not have free will? He can interfere in your life anytime you want. Everybody else has free will. He will not elect, he will not interrupt your life unless you free willers, you must ask him, interfere in my life. But see, an elect, no, he'll just stop you on a dime, and you'll say something, you'll go somewhere, you'll give the last cent out of your pocketbook, you'll say this to this person, this person, and so that's awesome. So he's looking right now, his eyes are going, he knows all, sees all, he is all. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and he knows everything's going on. There's nothing hidden that should not be revealed, nothing in secret that shall not manifest itself. God knows.
Eight. Understand ye brutish among the people.
I love the psalmist. Brutish means stupid. So the psalmist says, Lord, have mercy. Look at the crazy people that hate you, God, and they're killing and they're murdering, they're destroying our country, and they're killing the people and crucifying, and sin is reigning. You stupid people, wake up and acknowledge God, says the psalmist. Now the psalmist said that. Brutish means stupid, okay? Let's see what else he said.
And ye fools, when will you be wise?
I love this psalmist. This is Moses. You fools. Well, remember Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear means to revere. And where do we get knowledge? From the book of knowledge, Genesis 1 to Revelation 21. But the rest of that Proverbs 1:7, it says, but fools despise instruction. What's the instruction manual? The Bible. Fools despise the Bible. I'm going to tell you, Christians, some of you are listening, you don't even begin to love your Bible. You'll read a little verse here and a little verse there. I mean, you're supposed to know every word of God. You are supposed to know the mystery, the first Earth Age, the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the order of the trunks, the Kenites, the Manzas. You should know what's happening in America, that it's written. The leader of this country is written in the Bible. You should know that. Because you're supposed to be a watchman on the wall. I offer it here. I'll help you. No charge.
9. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear?
I mean, good Lord, the Lord formed our ear. As I was studying this, I just reached up and touched my ear. Touch your ear, everybody. Feel all that, how he did that, like a little amphitheater there, so the sound would go in. God knew how to do that, and just think what he's got inside our skull with the drums, eardrums, and everything. You think that he doesn't hear? Yes, God hears. You know, Isaiah says, God is not deaf that he cannot hear.
He that formed the eye, shall he not see?
I mean, he fixed your eye. Look at the optic nerve. Look at the retina, the pupil, the lens, the cornea. Look at that. God did that. You think he can't see? The eyes go from the two in the face of the earth, see, looking in suit, finding someone to whom he can be, in whom he can be strong. He sees you. There is never anything about you that he does not see. How about that?
10. He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct?
Now, chastisement means to punish, to spank. There is a different spanking that God does for his children and the heathen. So we'll get to the children later. The chastisement for the heathen. Remember, the psalmist is talking about the evildoers on the world. Here's what he does. At the seventh trump, the real Jesus is coming. And he's going to pour out those vials in Revelation, the cup of wrath, that cup about which he prayed in the garden. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He was not trying to get out of the crucifixion. He came to die for our sins. He knew that once he paid the sin debt, that if people rejected him, he would have to come back and pour that out. So he's coming back in great glory, and every eye shall see him. He's pouring out that cup of wrath on all who have worshipped the Antichrist, even Christians who worship the Antichrist, because you did not study the instructional manual, every word of God, and he's pouring that out. That will be the punishment of the wicked.
He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know?
You know, God really is the teacher. He wrote us the God course. You want to get your degree in the Bible. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. He wrote that, and that's where we get our teaching. Now, I love books. I have thousands of books, and I read before I ever went to school. I read before I was 5 years old, and that's just been a gift from God to me. I love books. I've learned so much. But God taught me from the Bible, and I would take the Bible and go into my secret place. And God has taught me. Now, I went to seminary, I've been to college, and all these good things. But God taught me. It is God who flashes these things to me. He is the teacher. Hallelujah.
11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity.
Vanity, nothingness. Now, he's not talking about his children, because we think of him and we think of his word. He's talking about these evil people who are tearing up the earth with their evil ways. And they're nothing but vanity. Now, see, what you have to do is getting darker and darker. Every day you have someone to say something to you in your family. They're not mean, they're not killing, they're not murdering, but they are not talking the word of God. To me, that is torture. I'd rather they would be evil. I can at least deal with it. I can't stand people to act like they're sweet and nice and never talk the word of God or Jesus. See, that is really evil. And so what you're going to have to do is draw a line and say, in my house, we're thinking about God. We're going to speak the word. We're going to pray the word. We're going to sing the word. We're going to think the word. We're going to talk the word. We're going to live the word. That is how you get through. The word will lead you safely on. Jesus is the living word. The Bible is Jesus' imprint. The ways of the world say this and they say that. And all of that is nothingness, vanity. Beth Avin, house of nothingness.
12. 12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord.
Now this is God's child. Blessed means happy. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, whom God loves, he chastens. If you are a good parent, you certainly spanked your children. Now, I realize nowadays you'll go to jail for doing that, but you could spank them in the closet. God says to do it, spoil the child and spare the rod. Nothing more disgusting than a spoiled child. Has no discipline and thinks everything is supposed to be given to them. They are absolutely useless citizens. So if you love anybody as a teacher, you must be disciplined to play the piano. You must be disciplined to pray. You must be disciplined to serve God. I mean, it's a steadfast discipline. And so God chastens you. Now, when God whips you, kiss whoever he uses to spank you. He often sends someone. I've had him turn me around to speak. I'll tell you the truth, I hate it. Because I know the person's going to get mad. I know they're going to think I'm doing it. But God would use me, and I'd rather obey God than for anybody in the world to love me. And when God loves you enough to put a person before you to say, okay, come on, you're going the wrong way. Come on, you need to come up. Whatever they say, it is because God loves you. Kiss the paddle. Bless the one he used to spank you. The spanker does not enjoy it. It's heartbreaking. I have cried for hours because God insists I do that. I'm a leader, and I see things. I can know in a minute that counseling people, it takes but a second. I can feel it in a group. I can feel it on the air. I can feel it now. I can feel where something's weak, and it needs to come up, and it needs to come up, and it needs to come up. It's trying to go away. It's trying to fall off. So kiss the paddle. That means God loves you. I will tell you something. If you've been living not close to Jesus and you call yourself a Christian and you haven't been punished, you might want to check your salvation. I know some people that have really hurt some anointed people of God, and I don't see anything happening. And see, usually within 6 months, if you touch one of God's anointed, something bad will happen to you. He said, touch not mine anointed. So that probably means if they are not saved, he won't whip them. Now they're going to get whipped because they'll walk into the lake of fire. So check yourself. Make sure that once in a while God gives you a little pat on the backside.
And whom thou teachest out of thy law.
God teaches out of his law. His law is the word. That is where you get wisdom. You don't know what to do, open the Bible. It's in there.
13, that thou mayest give him rest out of the days of adversity.
Your adversary, the devil, roams around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. He is coming at the sixth trump, the devil, with his Jesus costume on. He'll say, peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. Two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon, pretending to be Jesus, but he is the devil. Now, he's our adversary. He's not cutting heads off. He would blow his cover. But the adversity to those of us who will know this is that it breaks our heart for the world to worship him. But see, I'm already trained on that. My heart's already broken for a world. It's worshiping the devil.
Until the pit be digged for the wicked.
One of the things that will comfort you when the Antichrist is here is to know that when Jesus comes, that Jesus is going to put the devil in the pit for 1,000 years, that abyss. He will not be able to disturb the Bible classes of the doctor in that 1,000 years. Nobody can say, let's see, I can't go today, got to do this, and the devil's whispering all these reasons why. Everybody's going to hear the word. Why don't you start now? Maybe you could be a teacher.
14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance.
You are his inheritance. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's closer to you than hands are breathing.
15, but judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it.
Justice, finally. God is a fair judge. You know, it's reward day for those of us who've been serving the Lord. It's going to be a reward banquet. Judgment Day won't be scary. He'll say, little one, I saw when nobody knew. I saw you give up everything to get just one soul into Jesus. Have you done that?
16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?
Well, I'll tell you who's going to stand up for the Lord, the very elect that's adopted. When the Antichrist comes, the elect will be delivered up before him. The trials will be 10 days. We are to allow Holy Spirit to speak through us, and whatever we say will bruise his head. We will stand up for the Lord. He could count on the elect in the first earth spirit body when Satan rebelled. And he sent them out in every generation, called the very elect here at the end. He could trust you then, and he can trust you now. Don't fall off. Don't get weary. Look out. That thing trying to tell you to quit is the devil.
17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence.
I would have died.
18, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up.
In Psalm 63, verse 8, the psalmist said, more, I was about to die, and I just followed hard after God. Right now in your troubles and from this time forth, keep your eyes on Jesus and the Word. Jesus and the Word. Don't fall off this way. Don't fall off this way. Jesus and the Bible. Jesus and the Bible. Jesus and the Bible. If you have to crawl through, if I have to drag you through, we'll get through.
Amen.
Focus hard after him.
19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts did light my soul.
The thoughts, when you keep your mind on God, his peace sustains you. He keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. John 14, Jesus says, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, even the Holy Spirit.
20, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee?
Right now, the prince of the air is sitting on the throne on this planet. Is that anything that we can agree with? No. We want our king to come. Jesus is going to come and take the crown. He's King of Kings.
Which frameth mischief by a law.
The devil twists the scripture. He did that there when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. He'll do that for you. He'll just take one little word, like air, and cause you to worship him. Another teaching for another time.
21, they gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. 22, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge.
The psalmist gets happy now. He said, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, but I've got hope now. I just realized I'm going to meditate on the Word of God, and I'm going to get through because I'm going to stay with Jesus. I'm going to stay with the Bible. I'm going to endure to the end. So, I'm okay. I'm on the rock.
23, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
At the end of the millennium, all the devil, his fallen angels, and all who don't make it walk into the lake of fire, perish from within, cut off. Into the smoke they shall consume. Into the smoke they shall consume away. So, whatever happens here, keep your eyes on Jesus and on the Word. Do not fall off. Do not be weary in well-doing. That's the trick of the devil. Daniel says he's trying to wear out the saints. He's trying to wear out some of you. Don't think I don't know about that, but I'm not going to let him be my God. Jesus is our Lord. Well, it's time now for a mystery moment. Could we have the fifth trumpet, please? You know after the fifth trumpet comes the sixth trumpet. This is where we have questions and answers, and I give you the key of David to help unlock the mystery of God, the things kept secret from before the foundation of the earth. Dear Sherry Trumpet, what is the seventh trump? First of all, a trump is an action. That answer is in Revelation chapter 11. That is when the two witnesses who are going to be pumping encouragement to the 7,000 elect who will not bow the knee to Antichrist here at the end. It is when these two witnesses will be killed by the devil pretending to be the Savior. That's when he loses his cool. And they're going to lie in an open arena for 3.5 days. After the 3.5 days, they will arise on their feet and Jesus will come, and that's the seventh trump. Now, we know we do not know the day nor the hour when Jesus returns, but he gives us the seasons and he gives us the signs. We have 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 vials. But we do know that once those two witnesses are lying out there in the arena, we can start doing a countdown. 3, 2, 1, 1/2. After the 3.5 days, he says, then Jesus will come. So praise the Lord. Next question. Dear Sherry, in Revelation 9, it says the locust shall come on earth. What does that mean? First of all, locust is symbolic. In Revelation 9, it means the fallen angels of Genesis 6 and of the book of Jude. When Michael kicks the devil and his fallen angels out of heaven, Revelation 12, they will come on planet earth. Now, we need to know about a locust. The locusts band themselves together in an army, and they go straight forward, and they strip everything clean, anything green, they just kill it. Now, the minor prophets tell us of the 4 stages of the locust army. Keep in mind how the locusts do. The caterpillar, the cankerworm, and the palmer worm, and the locust. Well, we've seen that come to pass. It shows we're ready for the last part, which will be the fallen angels. We're ready for that now, coming out of heaven. The first part was in Iran when President Obama first was elected. Remember those protesters, how they were killing everybody? And the second was there in Egypt when Gaddafi was running. All those protests, killing everybody in their path. The third stage of the locust army was Benghazi when our precious Chris Stevens and those other 3 Americans were killed. That was... Okay, and the fourth is ISIS right now, crucifying Christians, killing everything, overtaking everything in their past. 4 stages of the locust army, and that's what my minor prophets talk about that. And now it's time for the locust, the next part, which will be the fallen angels to come with Satan. We're getting closer and closer and closer. But you know what? We're getting closer and closer to Jesus' second return. After Satan and the locust army comes our Lord Jesus at the seventh trump. Dear Sherry, in Revelation 9, it says the locusts have power in their tails like a scorpion. What does that mean? Okay, let's study the symbology of a scorpion. A scorpion stings its victim and grabs it and brings it to it. That when he gets the victim and stings it, it paralyzes the victim. The victim could move, but he's so afraid that he just stands there like a little shaking rabbit. He's terrified. And so the scorpion takes the victim. The scorpion does not have a stomach, and he holds the little victim to himself. The scorpion regurgitates over the victim, and then the victim becomes his stomach. In other words, he eats him for lunch. When the fallen angels come, they are going to be so beautiful, so charismatic. They're going to be in the pulpit. They'll be all over the television screen. People will be stunned at their charisma, stunned at their beauty. I mean, you will be like you're paralyzed. And they're going to deceive you and preach their father's gospel and eat you for lunch. Okay, praise God. Okay, next question. Should we be afraid? You should not be afraid, but you should be alert. You always want to know your enemy's method of operation. See, we're telling you these things. I'm a watchman on the wall. Jesus says, I've told you all things. When you know what the enemy is going to do, you can avoid that. Besides, dear Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. Over serpents and scorpions. Serpents means devils, scorpions means demons and fallen angels. And he says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. The reason they can't hurt you is because you have the seal of God in your forehead. You just got some of it. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll try one more question here. What does it mean when they are told by God not to hurt any green thing? God has already instructed, first of all, the devil not to touch anyone with the seal of God in their forehead, Revelation 9. That means the truth. It's not a magic mark. It's not a tattoo. It's not a computer chip. It's the truth in your forehead so you won't be deceived. But he also has given this instruction to the fallen angels. Green means alive. And see, if you don't have the word of God in you, you are dead. I'll try for one more here. Okay, what does it say? Okay, is there another place in the Bible where it talks about the seal of God or the mark of God? Yes, the prophetic book of Ezekiel. I taught that not long ago. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. Now, remember the fallen angels in Revelation 9, verse 4, so that makes it easy. Ezekiel 9, 4, it's talking about the end times. God says, go in the midst of the city and set a mark on the heads of those who cry and sigh for the abomination. What is the abomination? Mark 13, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, run. That is the desolator. That is the devil. And we are crying and sighing out to you now. Do not be deceived. The fake Christ comes first. Jesus comes at the seventh trump. So we all live happily ever after, because although the world is convulsing, God is going to come back and rejuvenate this earth, and he's going to make it heaven on earth again. So all's well that ends well. Now, your love line from my heart to you this week is, when you grumble, you crumble. Thanksgiving brings living. When you grumble, you crumble. Thanksgiving brings living. I'm going to pray for those of you who are lost now. I want you saved. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick now. I want you well. I love you. Stay in God's word. His name is called the Word of God, Yeshua Jesus. I love you. Now be blessed by the prayers. This is Sherry Medlock. Thank you so much for listening to Trumpet of Truth. I do pray you were blessed. First of all, I want you to come and live with me in Father's house forever and ever. So let's make sure that you're saved. If you're not certain, please pray this prayer with me, and he will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. Ready? Let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned. I repent of my sins. I'm so sorry. I confess that I have sinned. I ask that you will please forgive me of all my sins. Please wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, save me, Lord. Be my Savior, but be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me to enlarge your territory. Here am I. Send me. Thank you. I love you, and I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that, you'll want to tell me. 321-632-4631. That's my number, my school number, Sherry Medlock School. 321-632-4631. You'll get my voicemail, but just leave your name. And if you want me to call you back, please leave your number. But as soon as I get the message, I will immediately take your name to Father's throne. Now, if you are sick, I want to pray for you to be healed. Do you know that God still heals? I have been healed of cancer 2 times in 2 different places of my body, and I did not ever go to the doctor. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I always say if you can't walk on water, take a boat. But I'm called to faith, and I believed. One time it took me 2 years. One time it took me 4 years, but I'm completely healed. And you can be healed too, and many things we overcome through the faith in Jesus Christ. Modern scientists have told us that there are only 39 foundational diseases, that all other sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39. The Bible says that Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, and Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24 says that with Jesus' stripes we are healed. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. He sent his word and healed you. The blood was for the remission of sins, and the stripes were for the healing. Now, I want you to place your hand over whatever needs healing. If there's a part of your body that's missing, place your hand there if you can, because God is able to create a new body part. If something's broken or fractured, place your hand there. If something's not working, eyes or ears or legs, place your hand there. In any event, lift up your heart to the Lord. Now, the anointing destroys a yoke. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask the Holy Spirit will anoint this one, Father, as I pray this prayer. You said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Holy Spirit will move out to wherever this one is. Wherever there's something missing, in the name of Jesus, we call forth a new body part, whole and well by the hand of God. We call forth those things which are not as though they were, in the name of Jesus. Now, for all cancer, you're a demonic force, and I command you, all cancer, to desist and be gone from this body. And where the cancer was, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow in and repair the tissues. Cancer, you have to die. You have no power over this one. Jesus' stripes heals all cancer. Deaf ears, epitaph, be healed. Diabetes, in the name of Jesus, you are a diabolical force, and I command you to loose this one, that the blood sugar become normalized. Let glaucoma be gone. Let this one live and not die. Blind eyes see. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. You recover sight. Right eye see. Left eye see. In the name of Jesus, cataracts be gone. Glaucoma be gone. Macular disease be gone. Retina, everything in the eye be healed. Skin be healed. Skin be made whole. Burned skin be made whole in Jesus' name. Brains function. Dementia, Alzheimer's. Go to the abyss and never return. In the name of Jesus, come, mind of Christ. Clear thinking, wisdom. Clear thinking in the mind, in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Arthritis, you are a devil. You go to the itises and go to the abyss and never return. Let the bones be made strong. Let broken bones be mended. Where their bone is brittle, be made strong in the name of Jesus. He makes your bones strong. Burning feet stop. Burning toes be perfectly aligned. Feet get back in your right place. Hips get healed. Their pelvis, pelvic girdle, and pick up those legs and arise. Take up your bed. Get up out of the wheelchair. Arise. Take up and walk in the name and the power of Jesus. Knees stop hurting and be made whole in the name of Jesus. Stomachs be healed. Kidneys be healed. Right kidney, left kidney, bladder, colon, private parts on men, private parts on women, be healed. Backbone, spine, vertebrae, right on down from the first one to the last one. Vertebrae get back in order, be perfectly aligned. Disc be made whole in Jesus' name. Pelvis, pelvic girdle, inside the bone marrow, muscles and nerves and sinews and tissues, the tongue and the throat, the lungs, the heart, the hands, the arms, the backs, the muscles, the brain stem, in Jesus' mighty name, top of your head to the soles of your feet, that the healing virtue flow and let you be made whole. With Jesus' stripes you're healed. He sends his word and heals you. The anointing destroys the yoke. Now, call forth your healing. Speak it out of your mouth. With Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Father, touch this one. Let your miracle power flow here, dear God, and show your glory and restore health and cure to them. You will restore health and cure is your promise, and we thank you and we receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all of glory. Now, you might want to tell me also that you've been healed. Again, my number is 321-632-4631. 321-632-4631. You might also like to call me to ask me to pray for you. Again, you'll get my voicemail. That's the only way I can handle this. I'm a one-woman show. I don't have any help here. We accept the Lord, and he's a good help. So always leave your message, but I will get your message. I check them very often. I will always pray for you. Come on Sunday here at my school, 5 p.m. front entrance, to more of Trumpet of Truth. Bible, line by line, prayer for healing, prayer for salvation, beautiful music. 916G Florida Avenue, Coco, in the El Charro Mexican Plaza. You'll see a big sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth. And then in the front door there, you'll see another sign, Trumpet of Truth. Come right on in. And Wednesday night, we have another book, currently studying Revelation. By the time you get here, it'll be a new book of the Bible. 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday night. We also pray then fervently for America. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, for more of Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. And remember this when you think of Jesus, Yeshua. It's taken from Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. See you next time.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the Word. Tune in next week at the same time for the Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
Stand before your throne, dressed in glory not my own. What a joy I'll sing of on that day. No more tears or broken dreams, forgotten is the minor key. Everything as it was meant to be. And we will worship. Sin and sorrow ever known again. to face, see you face to face. And we will
to your